This is National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Sirius XM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Good morning, Canada. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau coming back from China without a prize. No trade deal. No announcement that talks for a trade deal have commenced, which is what was widely expected. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, though, still happy about it, still sunny ways. Here he is speaking about how things went in China.
The Chinese market will soon be the largest in the world, with more than 1 billion potential customers for Canadian products and services. There are unprecedented opportunities for Canadians to either break into or expand within the Chinese market. As we continue talks, we also want to make sure that all Canadians benefit from a closer trading relationship with China, not just entrepreneurs. Done right, trade agreements can create more of the well-paying middle-class jobs people need on both sides of the Pacific. Jobs that can help parents put food on the table, strengthen our communities, and grow our economy.
Yeah, but they can also cause us a whole hell of a lot of headaches when it comes to reciprocity issues, dealing with a communist-driven economy, and national security concerns. Those are just some of the issues brought up by a number of papers released by the MacDonald Laurier Institute in their Inside Policy magazine edition. All of these papers have been compiled by Shuvaloy Majumdar, a former director of policy to Canada's foreign ministers from 2011 to 2015, now a Monk Senior Fellow at the MacDonald Laurier Institute. Shuvaloy joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Great. I'm doing great.
So I know you wrote an essay yourself, and you've been editing other people's essays on this topic, really expert insights on it. This, of course, happening before the Trudeau trip. Now he's coming back. Seems like we don't have a deal. And I'm going to suspect that you're maybe kind of okay with that.
I think it's been a blessing in disguise, Anthony. I mean, we have that Dragon at the Door series tried to cut through the happy talk of some partisan journalists and taxpayer-funded think tanks and a host of others who preach the virtues of China accurately without preaching any of the appropriate criticisms of China. And so what we attempted to do was create a portrait of China, looking at how it weaponizes its commercial instruments by using its state-run economy enterprises and its belligerent military attitudes towards the post-war international liberal order in the South China Sea, a whole host of different issues. And together, I think what it does is it presents China as it is rather than as some may wish it to be. And that's a really important thing to be doing when you're looking at doing trade in the Indo-Pacific Asia region. I mean, we're looking at a failed deal with Beijing in Trudeau's attempt in the last week, which I think is a blessing in disguise. But at the same time, only a few weeks ago, the Canadian government had the opportunity to bolster trade with the rest of Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, through the Trans-Pacific Partnership talks, and had a stunning reversal of indicated intention there. So, yeah, I see this as you mentioned, a bit of a blessing in disguise. We're fortunate that for other reasons, the Chinese decided to go in a different direction. And I hope it offers the opportunity for Canadian leaders to do a deep think about what our trade priorities are in this region.
Huh. Yeah, so I guess you're not really quibbling with that clip I played from the Prime Minister saying, you know, China, big country, if we do trade with them, it'll grow our economy. And we know there's a lot of wealthy people in China wanting to buy a lot of products and so forth. The issues, as you say, both the Prime Minister's office and folks in the media only playing those notes. Why are we only focused on, as you put it, the happy talk?
You know, it seems to me, though, you know, if you wanted to do engagement with China, I don't think there you'll find a lot of people, commentators, observers, policymakers that have any problem with that. I think there's a great market in China for Canada to engage it, but we should engage with it in a way that is beneficial to the Canadian national interest. And our national interest there is twofold. One is we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to engage in a fair market driven by the rule of law. And China still has a lot of work to do before it accomplishes that on protecting the intellectual property of our ideas and our entrepreneurs, as well as making sure that they create a stable business environment for Canadians to be able to compete with Chinese firms and other firms fairly for the long term. That's what a good partnership looks like. So it's easy to say the platitudes that the Prime Minister had mentioned in terms of, you know, how free trade creates jobs. But, you know, when presented with opportunities to do trade with the rest of the Indo-Pacific region in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Prime Minister was surprisingly absent in a leaders-level meeting and has not yet joined the consensus of the TPP in the time since. We should be clear, the Prime Minister has never, ever come out in support of the TPP, including before the last election. So it's not like his government has made a commitment to fulfill the TPP, where it has made a commitment to fulfill trade with China.
Shuvalai, help me out understanding the specific issues as to why we don't have a level playing field with China, the way they're not rolling the same way we roll.
There's a numerous amount. I mean, we have a free market capitalist system in which our companies are, you know, governed by the rule of law and a predictable tax regulation system that is enforceable in courts and by law enforcement. In China, it's a lot more subjective. We are looking at a market in China that is highly subsidized by government-controlled actors. A lot of the Chinese economy is state-run, a vast majority of it, in fact. And so when you have politically guided business decisions in which the executives of Chinese companies are chosen based on relationships and loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party, you have a business environment that is not driven by the incentives of actually creating jobs and prosperity, but rather bolstering local power brokers. The Chinese banking system has inaccurate data about how effectively the Chinese employment rate and economy is performing. There are issues of overcapacity when it comes to various Chinese sectors in terms of what they're capable of doing versus what they actually are doing. Their Belt and Road Initiative globally, which is a $5 trillion investment, is propping up some of the world's worst regimes, whether it's in Pakistan or Venezuela or elsewhere, as a play to make a long-term commitment for Chinese economic growth, whether it's on energy or infrastructure, hard road assets. And they deny international greed dispute resolution mechanisms. For example, they're willing to build a road through a disputed territory between India and Pakistan without caring about the Indian position of their claim towards that territory. The Chinese military acts in a very united fashion, but uses these asymmetric tools like a Coast Guard or a civilian Coast Guard, quote unquote, in the Indian Ocean, in the Indo-Pacific region, in an informal way to acquire deeper control of the territory, which is analogous to how the Russians use little green men to destabilize eastern Ukraine. So, I mean, across a range of systems, we have a stable of authors from the Dragon at the Door series at the McDonnell Laurier Institute who describe in great detail each of these security, political, and economic tools that China used to build their idea of a rising and reinvigorated Middle Kingdom.
Wow, yeah, quite a laundry list of concerns that are not, as you write in your piece, obviously the smart people at the Foreign Affairs Department and in the Prime Minister's office know all this. They're just choosing to not play it up, shall we say. Shuvalai, you say that China's, you know, not there yet on a number of these fronts, but do they even aspire to be in the direction that we would like them to be in?
The actions of President Xi, as described in his latest big party gathering, he has offered this idea of this Xi's thought, which is the third time since Mao that the contemporary modern communist China has had a very big substantive idea about what China is in the concept of what it will be moving forward. And the actions that we've seen in Beijing are not one that is moving towards being part of market-based democratic order. We're seeing the consolidation of power within the Chinese Politburo. And even in the context of the One China policy, which I do support, you're seeing a total subversion of agreements that have been in place with the government of Taiwan. You're seeing a subversion of the basic law in Hong Kong, in which the BBC have now closed down and shuttered their doors and replaced it with Chinese state-run television. which is a betrayal of the compact that China and the UK had with respect to the rights that would be respected for Hong Kong people. We're seeing hard evidence in the South China Sea, where China continues to belligerently build these island bases, massive military installations with aircraft launch and landing capacity. What we're seeing is a China that is emboldened in the world to use what they define as trade as a foil for increasing their control and their capacity to run the table in the international order to come.
Wow.
I think China sees a decline of the United States, or at least a lessening of its presence in the Indo-Pacific, and wants to use this opportunity to say, okay, listen, if the United States is in this notion of decline and China is in this notion of rise, then we want to assert ourselves in our new definition of what the order ought to be.
Huh.
And that's a really dangerous idea.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we could talk about this some more, and hopefully we will again. Shuvalai Mojumdar, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Shuvalai's former director of policy to foreign ministers in the previous government, now a senior fellow at the McDonald Laurier Institute. Really important caveats about China. When we come back, we're talking more about Minister Hare in trouble, Russia banned from the Olympics, and much more coming up on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.